look down here, racing down the corner of the building. As fast almost as the debris falling alongside. This is almost free fall acceleration. It turns out to be two-thirds of free fall acceleration. This is anything but a gravitational collapse mechanism. Do we have a straight down symmetrical progression outside the footprint? FEMA shows us a 1,200-foot diameter of debris, almost equally displaced outside the footprint of the building, well beyond the boundaries of ground zero. Here's building seven, a nice, neat implosion, classic controlled demolition. Here's the very explosive event known as the destruction of the Twin Towers. Take a look at these pulverized building materials, which we're told by NIST are puffs of air being produced by this pile driver. Well, first of all, there's no pile driver. It's destroyed itself in the first 4 seconds. These are not puffs of air, they're pulverized building materials ejected at 160 to 200 feet per second. These are at explosive speeds. And they're 20, 40, and even 60 stories down below. And they are extremely precise at the midpoints between the corners of the buildings. Do we have a near free fall pace through the path of greatest resistance? Indeed, it turns out to be two-thirds of free fall. There is no jolt. This building does not stop while it's crushing thousands of tons of steel underneath. It starts immediately, suddenly, smoothly, and without interruption, straight down. This indicates that there is no resistance or extremely little resistance from the structure below. Do we have the total dismemberment of the steel structure? Well, watch as the South Tower is destroying itself and disappearing into this cloud. What we would expect is this tilting mass to fall in some mangled heap down at the bottom of the ground, and yet it disappears into this dust cloud at 22 degrees. It's off center of the building below. How can it crush the building below at any rate when it is falling off and continuing its angular momentum, theoretically? We have asymmetrical damage from the airplanes, asymmetrical damage from the fires, and asymmetrical loading from the building above. Watch what's happening below. Complete symmetrical destruction. Like the firemen described, bands of explosions, pop, 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 all the way down the building at two-thirds of free fall speed. This is a complete non sequitur and a complete distribution, an equal distribution of debris, where the steel frame skeleton is almost completely broken up. How about the lateral ejection of steel? 9-ton perimeter wall units, most of them ejected 50 to 70 miles an hour, instant acceleration speed outside of the perimeter walls, landing up to 600 feet away. This requires an enormous amount of energy and lateral energy. How about the floors? We have 110 floors in each of these twin towers, each an acre in size, 4 and 5 inch thick concrete laid over 22 gauge metal decking. How many of these floors do we find at the bottom of this gravitational collapse? Not 50, not 10, not one. The debris shows only core columns, perimeter columns, aluminum cladding. Where did the pancakes go in this pancaking collapse? We're looking for pancakes, like these in a traditional pancaking collapse. Do we have enormous clouds of pyroclastic concrete? Well, where did the concrete go? All we see in the remains is dust and steel. Direct evidence of explosive destruction. Again, fire can't create any one of these. And how about that NIST report? We were told that this is the answer to the, in 2005, as to how the Twin Towers collapsed. But the entire $20 million three-year effort by NIST stops at the initiation of collapse. I am not kidding you. Their objective, it doesn't actually include the structural behavior of the tower after the conditions for collapse initiation were reached. Why not? Structural engineers do this for a living, calculate the ability of the structure below to resist any impacting mass from above. Had they gone any farther in their analysis, they would have had to have accounted for all of the evidence for explosive controlled demolition that begins at that point. They had to stop there. They had no choice. What do they call this? The final report on the collapse of the World Trade Center Twin Towers. There is no analysis on the collapse whatsoever. It is a complete Potemkin village designed to explain something that it doesn't even begin to do. And they acknowledge that. In our request for correction, they acknowledge we are unable to provide a full explanation of the total collapse of this building. They have one half page which speculates that after the initiation of collapse, what we have is global collapse ensuing. Well, the videos showed that. Essentially came down at free fall acceleration. They acknowledge that too. Interesting, prompting their own chief science division, Dr. James Quintier, to look at real alternatives that might have been the cause of the collapse of the Twin Towers. He quit. Do we have expert corroboration? Plenty. Here's William Rice, who states, as many of our 30 structural engineers with architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth state, the interesting fact is that each of these 110-story Twin Towers fell upon itself in about 10 seconds of near free-fall acceleration. This violates Newton's law of conservation of momentum that would require that the stationary inertia of each floor is overcome by being hit. The mass increases and the free-fall acceleration decreases. The prevailing theory would have us believe that each of the Twin Towers inexplicably collapsed upon itself, crushing all 287 massive columns on each floor while maintaining a near free-fall acceleration, as if the 100,000 or more tons of supporting structural steel framework underneath didn't even exist. I would submit that this is all direct evidence. Again, fire can't, for explosive destruction, fire can't even create one of these, let alone all 10 of them, along with additional testimony, which you'll see in the DVD, a whistleblower's expert corroboration for knowledge, also with the Twin Towers. This is proof, beyond a reasonable doubt, of destruction by explosive controlled demolition. So we have some very serious problems with NIST. In fact, let's summarize our chief concerns about the veracity of these reports. NIST lied about the severity, fire severity and duration in all three skyscrapers. NIST lied about the evidence of molten iron and steel in the rubble. NIST refused to test for explosives, and explosive demolition was the most likely hypothesis. NIST and FEMA would not follow the NFPA guidelines for fire and explosion investigation, looking for explosives in the residue. NIST will not release the computer model and input data for due to Freedom of Information Request Acts, claiming that its release would jeopardize public safety. NIST ejected the FEMA Appendix C documentation and photos of melted steel beams. NIST's animated computer model bears no resemblance to the actual collapse as seen in the videos of World Trade Center 7. In the Twin Towers, NIST claims that the upper block above the point of jet plane impacts at each of the Twin Towers crushed the lower block. But video analysis reveals clearly that the upper block disintegrated in waves of explosions prior to any crushing of the lower block. NIST's technical analysis into the Twin Towers collapse stops at initiation of collapse. NIST acknowledges in its response to our request for correction that they are unable to provide a full explanation, or any explanation, really. NIST tests the steel assemblies of the Twin Towers in a 2-hour, 2,000-degree fire test, and they sagged only 4 inches. But NIST tossed out this experimental data, claiming a 42-inch sag. NIST's own metallographic paint analysis indicates fire temperatures of only up to 600 degrees Fahrenheit. And yet, they claim temperatures of over 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. In short, NIST's official technical explanation is fraudulent and inconsistent with the basic laws of physics. By contrast, the hypothesis of controlled demolition is consistent with all of the available forensic evidence. Since the official FEMA and NIST reports provide insufficient, contradictory, and fraudulent accounts of the tower's destruction, and since we have already filed complaints in 2009 to the Office of the Inspector General, who oversees the Department of Commerce, who oversees NIST, and we've received no redress, we are now calling upon the Attorney General, Eric Holder, of the United States, to impanel a federal grand jury investigation of the individuals responsible at NIST, including lead investigator Sean Sunder and co-project leader John Gross. Today, as we speak, every member of Congress is receiving the AE 9/11 Truth Petition for a new investigation with every one of the names of the 1,000 architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. And this is available for you outside, again, for a small donation to help us proceed along our path. Because our path is extremely important, as you're beginning to realize. After all, if the destruction of these buildings was a controlled demolition, this may be also evidence of treason. We're reminding our public officials that the misprision of treason is a federal offense committed where someone who has knowledge of the commission of any treason against the United States and does not inform the president or federal judge or state governor or judge, it is punishable by up to 7 years in federal prison. The ramifications of 9/11 being some sort of an inside operation are enormous, and they may have legal reverberations throughout the hundreds of existing 9/11-based civil and criminal legal proceedings, not the least of which is the forthcoming trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. If the roots of 9/11 are in question, then the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq are also as well. And of course, the serious loss through legislation of our constitutionally guaranteed and cherished civil liberties via the Patriot Act and the Military Commissions Act. Architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth's conclusions are shared by thousands of scientists, senior-level military, intelligence and government officials, pilots and aviation professionals, firefighters, scholars and university professors, 9/11 survivors and their family members, and other professionals around the world. Visit patriotsquestion911.com and Journal of 9/11 Studies as well. The 9/11 Truth Movement, which Time Magazine in 2006 called a mainstream political reality, continues to gain momentum. As AE 9/11 Truth's own influence grows, we have embarked on well over 130 speaking events covering 20 states and 13 countries, including most recently in Australia, New Zealand, and Japan. I'll invite Dr. Jones, Dr. Griffin, and Eric Lawyer to come up and we'll try to answer your questions. There is a microphone. John, I need the microphone here. Would you hand it, not to this gentleman, but to the person behind him over here?
Well, first of all, I want to thank all four of you gentlemen for your expertise and your doggedness in going forward in the face of what has to be very painful on a personal basis, because the myth is so strong. I mean, I personally experienced it where I tried to talk to people and show them the facts as you outlined them here. And they just look at you and the face goes blank.
Anyway, you have a question?
I do have a question. I want to know why no attention has been given to what happened at the Pentagon.
First of all, I would like to reserve the question, the rest of the questions for the press members. I did make that promise and apologize, I forgot about that. But to address that question, we have a great deal of controversy as to what did or didn't happen at the Pentagon. And what we all know and what we all agree on is that there's plenty of evidence available to us if the Pentagon would release the dozens of cameras that they have that show what really. We're all agreeing that we have some sort of cover-up, and that there is plenty of evidence for that. If you're a member of the press and you have a press pass, would you raise your hand, and John will give you the microphone.
Hi, my question is, As someone who's been on the front lines, as well as many of my other colleagues who were called nuts in the past, in terms of, you know, pushing the government to open up things and stop the lies, what do I do with their burnout? Like, we were on the front lines for the first few years, and I noticed a lot of people got burnt out. So when I'm trying to talk to my colleagues who've been on the front lines for a long time, they moved on and are on to other causes, like, you know, the right to marry, or, you know, the economy, other things that are going on. How do I re-motivate them as to, you know, understand that, you know, to keep the fire burning under this investigation?
Yes, this is a phenomenon in any movement of this nature that people who were in the movement early on, some of them stick with it, some of them don't. But in a sense, that's not so important, because what has happened, those people performed a very important role. We wouldn't be here without the people in the first two or three years. I didn't come on board for a whole year. So it's understandable some have burned out, but the important thing is the professionalization of the movement. We now have a dozen professional organizations with these thousands of members. So the leadership has changed from the early days, and that's the important thing, and that's the important thing that is being signaled by this press conference today, and this can call attention to all the other professional organizations, more of which are forming as we speak.
Richard, could you go over the timeline for the grand jury investigation that you talked about just at the end, with a little more specifics?
The question is, could I go over the timeline of the grand jury investigation? We don't have those details together. We're raising funds to hire attorneys to do exactly that. And we're asking for your support at ab9truth.org. There is a chip-in. You can click right there and support this effort if you believe what we're doing. So I appreciate your detailed question, and I don't have a detailed answer for you at this time. Is there another question from members of the press?
Yes, I'm from a small town, West Marin County. And we all, a lot of us out there, are wondering what you think of the hope for a changing attitude of Obama and Clinton.
Zero?
Hope is a very important thing. We probably ought to place it somewhere else. That said, we should not give up. They are in leadership positions. People have been known to respond against their initial will to tremendous pressure. It's going to take tremendous pressure, but tremendous pressure is starting to build. You've seen the reports these last couple weeks about the change of the media around the world towards 9/11 truth. It has not yet changed in the United States, but it is changing everywhere else. It'll be increasingly difficult for the U.S. press to withstand this. Now, given their success in the past, they'll probably succeed now. But, you know, miracles have happened. Mr. Firm's a miracle, why can't we?
My question is for David. David, I read your book, 9/11 Commission, Omissions and Distortions. I'm wondering what new omissions and distortions you have discovered since that book was published. Thank you.
Good question. If I were writing that book today, it would be at least twice as long. So, you know, I had quite a few. I had 115. But we would be way up over 200 now. I won't try to go into them now. I have thought about trying to put out a second edition, but you know, there are so many things to do, it hasn't risen to the top of the priority list yet. But the more important thing now is the set of omissions of the NIST report. And these are even more important
than those of the 9/11 Commission. So I think that's the place to focus our attention now. Thank you.
Thank you.
George Gabori, San Francisco Tesla Society. Regarding the unexploded thermite particles, is anyone looking at the health effects of what could have occurred to the cleanup workers that were unmasked and might have been breathing these in?
The question has to do with the health effects of breathing these nanothermitic materials into the lungs. I don't know. That's beyond my expertise as a physicist. You're talking about the health effects. It has been discussed, but I don't know if anyone who's looked into it. Certainly, the dust itself was very hazardous because it was highly alkaline. That was noticed early on. Denied, incidentally, by the EPA in their official press releases in the days following 9/11, even though scientists were saying that dust was dangerous, EPA was changing that, and we found out from the Nikki Tinsley, the EPA investigator, that in fact the White House had reviewed the EPA statements. The EPA initially was cautioning people about the dust. The White House changed that to reassurances. Most unfortunately, now there are thousands, approaching, I understand, 15,000 people who inhaled this dust and in effect swallowed the lies of the government. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. And certainly these people need more than just our sympathy, they need our help. This dust was very hazardous. I understand that, that some of the health benefits have been denied these people who continue to be denied. It's an error to speak.
There's a group called the Feel Good Foundation that's helping take care of the sick and dying from exposures. We're getting to the point now where we're going to surpass the number that were actually killed that day, and both civilians and firefighters that are going to die from it. So as far as the particles, no, I don't think there's been any study on those individually, but there's so many toxic gases. You know, we called it the toxic soup there, and we've seen so many firefighters already dying from it. And I think it's about 40,000, they say, that were exposed, and 40% of them already have lung problems from it. So it's definitely an issue, and I'm sure having that type of chemical in your, you know, breathing that in, just like the asbestos, we're not going to see the effects, the full effects, for a few more years, and then we're going to see just massive numbers of people dying. So
one more footnote with regard to the asbestos. A story had appeared in the Boston Globe 2 days before FEMA was ordered, the White House, to put out its report saying the air is safe to breathe. The story in the Boston Globe had made very clear the air was not safe to breathe. This was deliberate murder.
Thank you. I have a quick question about the signature, probably for anyone who'd like to answer it, especially Professor Jones. The signature that you put up of the nanothermite, it was even more explosive than a sample of presumably military grade of thermite that you put with it. That signature is the fingerprint, literally, of a mass murderer. What can you tell us about what you already know about the possible source of that explosive thermitic material? Thank you.
Let me attempt an answer. As scientists, we can determine that this material is active thermitic material, highly reactive. It certainly matches what we find in the literature. As you mentioned, these are defense contractors who produce this nanothermite or super thermite. It's the same thing. In the days leading up to 9/11, 2001, there were not many places that we can find that had the capability to make this nanothermite. We know the defense contracting laboratories had this capability. You realize that there's large quantities of this in the dust when you extrapolate to the tens of thousands of tons of dust that was produced. There are, and again, we estimate from what we see in the dust samples, approximately, and this is rough, but approximately 3 tons of unexploded nanothermite in the dust. So who had the, and there must have been more than that produced. So, and, oh yes, thank you, Richard. Here's a sample of the dust. This was genetic chemical?
No, that came off the high rise.
Oh, there's high rise, okay. So, we're getting a number of these samples of the World Trade Center dust. Don't breathe it. Oh, it's double bagged. Probably is. Okay, so I'm very careful when I work with that stuff now. Anyway, let's see. So the point, yeah, yes, the point of the source. Let me just say that to really pin that down, we will need the type of investigation that Richard and the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth are calling for, which is a criminal investigation. A science can tell you so much. Now, I will mention to you, Kevin Ryan, my good friend, has shown that a number of the authors of the NIST report on the World Trade Center, in fact, are experts in nanothermite. So your question, you really should be directed to them. And I'll leave it at that.
Last question from a member of the press. If you're wearing a press pass and you have a question, raise your hand right here.
I have one question for Mr. Lawyer. In particular, I wanted to know, what's the general feeling among firefighters today? You mentioned 343 of your brothers are calling out for justice. And is there a sense of anger and bitterness? I wonder if that might be the beginning of a wider investigation.
That's what we're hoping for. A lot of the senior military intelligence guys that I've spoken with think the firefighters are kind of the key to waking up the average person because they lost so much. I think Dr. Griffin could probably speak about this better. I think it's, I like to joke, I'm a minor in college sociology and psychology. There's something going on in the fire service, just like the rest of the country, but especially in New York. Because I don't think there's a cover-up. I don't think there was a gag order. I've talked to so many of those guys. I don't think there's a gag order. I think what it is the people that were hurt the most from this have the most to lose when they realize what really happened. And there's just a physical, there's like an emotional barrier there. They can't look at it. So as far as firefighters, we're just like the rest of the population. We're divided, and it's very emotional for the ones who really don't want to believe it. They get angry with me. I'll get, you know, hate mail. I'll get all kinds of things. But then there's 10 times as many behind the scenes that are supporting us that, you know, that are seeing it.